from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint.
I'm Barry, and we are coming to you from the show floor at the 2018 IAAPA Attractions Expo. We're doing it a little bit different this week. We're bringing the podcast to the show floor, coming to you not really live, but live on tape from the show floor, where we're going to walk around, we're going to interview some ride manufacturers and different people involved with the attractions industry, and also take you on an audio tour of the show.
Yeah, we're recording. We got this digital recorder, so we thought it'd be nice to get out and have fun with it and capture the action here on the floor. So stay tuned. We got some exciting things coming.
Hey, everyone. We're here with Guy Nelson, CEO of Dynamic Attractions. And you guys had a big announcement today on a coaster design that I've never seen before.
Well, we kind of like to build things that you haven't seen before. That's the intent of our strategies, to really innovate in areas that we think the market it would like to go and experience an indoor-outdoor dark ride coaster.
It was really cool.
And it's pretty cool. And, you know, it's more advanced than just a concept. We were actually shipped to the field and we're installing it. So it should be open in the park in Malaysia next spring when the park opens. New Fox Park in Genting Islands. So, yeah, we're pretty excited about that. It's a neat product. It's it should turn a lot of heads, right? Yeah. So it's a launch coaster that there's dueling. It's a racing format, and along lines of the IP is, of course, Fox IP, California Thunder Run. So it's trains racing against each other, variable speeds, and it's a very complex ride system. Yeah. So, and the beauty of having motors to drive it, in addition to the launch, to hit the speed you want, but then the motors to continue all around the undulations, is to change the speed up, go through different scenes, indoors, outdoors, and really create quite an experience. Today, the video sort of showed other possibilities, like other theming possibilities. It's really a storytelling coaster, right? So it's quite fun.
Yeah, I mean, what makes it unique is you have the coaster track, but the actual ride platform is on a motion platform.
Yes.
So you can do things. You can literally hide the coaster track.
Yes.
If you
well,
want.
You do. You think you're actually driving.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like the old slot cars, right? You actually be pulled along, right? By the underneath the track is the bogey system, and that's pulling you around. 24 wheels or motors are driving you around. So at pretty good speeds and variable speeds. It's all software driven, right? So it's a real complex ride. Let's put it that way.
And you got a question?
Not yet.
But and you guys have announced a partnership with one of the granddaddies of ride manufacturers here at IAAPA this year.
Yeah, yeah. So the Dick and I met about a year ago, and we were just talking about their reputation over the years, and they had they built over 5,000 rides, a lot of classic rides, but a huge capacity in their industry, like in their facility, 300,000 square foot facility, right in the middle of America, really good labor pool. Wichita is a lot of carbon fiber airplane makers, just good skilled trades base. So from a manufacturing perspective, in the heyday, Chance had like 400 employees in that facility, right? And so those rides sort of the demand hasn't been to the same extent, whereas now our rides are quite a bit different. We got a record backlog right now of ride contracts that we're executing on, so we needed more capacity. And I thought, well, Dick, you make and we both were committed to the highest quality in the industry. Their rides are different than our rides, but really high quality rides.
Yeah.
And so that quality culture, so we hit it off there, and we hit it off on the fact that he has spare capacity. I need capacity, more capacity, manufacturing capacity.
Yeah.
He needs more engineering. I got 150 engineers.
Yeah.
Because we really are, as you can see, quite engineering intensive. There's not many people that have that commitment to designing. So we just came together and said, look, 1 + 1 = 3. And he can manufacture for me. I can help him engineer some of rejuvenate some of his products and whatnot, and we'll see where we go with it all, right?
That was really interesting with the Morgan thing, because I didn't know one thing that was with Dynamic Attractions, obviously with today's coaster announcement, you guys are always pushing the envelope. What's next for Dynamic Attractions? What's the future hold?
You never know. I keep hiring new people to help me figure that question out. It's an exciting time. Like we are fortunate because we have with Universal and Disney, we do a lot of work with them, right?
Yeah.
And they push us, right, in areas that from a technical because they really want great ride systems. And so through that piece, we come up with new ideas from that. We say, okay, what else can we do with this platform that's affordable, that to a broader market, or maybe to a different demographic, and so not bigger, better, faster. I think we're going to continue to focus on media-based attractions, doing tricking the brain to have to as opposed to scaring the brain, like literally the G-force type rides. It's a media side.
We had the coaster race back in the day. Now it's all about immersive.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're gonna introduce a product. It's really a fun one. It's augmented reality onto a platform that's going to be a really talk of the town.
VR,
couple of years.
Virtual and augmented reality.
AR. Yeah. I think in the themed environment, it's going to be mostly AR. These guys, they're experts in theming, right? So with augmented reality, kind of see the themed environment, but also.
Which is fine by me, because I can only do so much VR with the goggles on.
When you start moving, and it's been proven, it's a tough thing to get right. Right?
It really is.
Yeah. I mean, and it seems like you guys are going in more of a direction, taking hybrid. I mean, it's almost a hybrid of different things. Because I know for some people, especially in a lot of the parks, on the consumer level, you sort of reach, like with screens, we've sort of reached the limit of what we can do with screens. And now it seems like you guys are trying to find, well, we can combine this technology with that technology and bring you something you've never seen before.
Yeah, and it really the introduction of motion in an effective way to an immersive environment, right? And doing that right? Yeah. Making sure you don't get people sick or overly scared, or you just want to really thrill, exhilarate a wide range of people, and that's sort of our focus, right? So I think this is right. I think it's a hybrid of this, a hybrid of that. Hopefully some innovation along the way. I think what you saw today was quite innovative, right? It's these are tough things to do, right? So we want to be known to keep doing that, right? And we're forming more partnerships, I think, with customers, because it's busy out there. So we're in the position to say, okay, we like working with you. We don't like working with you. You've got the right approach to this business. You don't have the right approach to this business, so... We're not working with you, and so puts us in a position to really collaborate with owners that really have a pretty good sense of what their guests might like, right? And so then we can collaborate, and we've done a fair bit of investment, our own investment into new product development. We just have decided that we're going to, when it comes to new product development, we're going to have a customer on the other side. Sitting there with us and saying, okay, let's work this through together. It's just a better way to bring that to market. Because you're closer, first of all, to what ultimately they like, the guest experience they'd like to achieve. And then they buy into it, right? You're not this sort of win-lose, give me a number and then the number's wrong. And I'm paying to build a ride and I'm going, I don't like that business sub-model. So in this marketplace, given our reputation, we pick our spots, right? So it's a better place to be. So,
all right.
Is that right?
Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, perfect.
Thanks for coming by, guys.
Thanks. Hey everyone, we're here with Preston Perks with SNS Worldwide, and you guys had a big announcement yesterday with really one of the first of its theme-wise kind of coasters coming to a park in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday was a big day. I think everyone was looking forward to seeing the vehicles that we unveiled for Steel Curtain for the Kennywood coaster we're working with them on. Being themed after Pittsburgh Steelers, with Kennywood working with the NFL professional organization, it draws a little bit extra attention to it. Some positive, some negative, I'll say, depending on where you live. I think we had some Cleveland Browns fans in the group that were almost booing as we unveiled it, I think. But no, it was really, really cool. This vehicle we have out here is a huge showpiece. It's got some of the best things we've ever done on it, and it is a huge ride.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it seems to be a little bit bigger than something we've seen lately from you guys. At least I haven't seen this type of style ride built by you guys lately, as far as this type of coaster, because it does some unique, it does some things people aren't used to.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons why we're so excited about this ride and putting it out there. For years, we've been building very large air launch coasters in Asia, in China, and you know, people really aren't aware or don't understand what we're doing over there or seeing some of the type of products we do. And so to work with Kennywood and do a coaster that has 4,000 feet of track, has two 24 passenger trains, 9 inversions, going to break the record for inversions in the United States, and have the world's tallest inversion, that's a big deal for us. I mean, we're so excited that people can see this domestically. They can see it and start to see what we've been doing as a company for years that they might not be as aware of.
And speaking of the air launch, Six Flags Great America outside of Chicago is getting, I believe, was it Max Force? And that's going to be something that a lot of people haven't seen in the U.S. lately.
Yeah, I'd say that's just as big for us as well. I mean, that's going to go 0 to 60 in less than 1.6 seconds.
I missed that.
Yeah, it is going to be the fastest acceleration in the United States. It's going to be like you're getting shot out of a gun. And it's just using our air launch technology that we've had for years on our tower rides and on coasters just laid on its side. And once again, people haven't seen our air launch coasters here domestically for a long time. We had a couple PKD a long time ago.
Yeah.
We have a little bit slower one with Silver Dollar City. But this is really showcasing our core competency. It's showcasing our product that we have out there. And with air, we can move people faster and quicker than other technologies. And we're so happy to be able to partner with Six Flags again. You know, we've been working with them on the 40 free spin, but to add that experience to, once again, the United States, that people can see the type of things we're doing. We're so excited to be able to continue to do this kind of business, because as a company, we have the team, we have the technology, we have the competency. We just needed those opportunities to be able to show what we can do.
And I know Busch Gardens Williamsburg is getting one of your flat rides, because you guys do flat ride.
Yeah.
And one of the things I think is unique with that coming there is Busch Gardens is known for theming. You're going into Ireland, you know, so it's compared to some of the other installations you guys have done, this thing's going to be themed out because it's got to fit into that Ireland area.
Yeah, I think what they've done there is they've taken that swing ride and once again, pneumatically driven swing. That's really visually, if you look at a swing, a lot of people say, it's a swing. It's not that awesome out of thing, but you get on it. It's one of the most thrilling rides out there.
They really are. They're really
fun. I mean,
fun.
They push you hard.
Yeah.
And you go beyond 90 degrees, and you get pushed back down. But some parks have taken that theming, those towers, and they've done a really good job of theming. I think that Busch Gardens Williamsburg saw what like Dollywood did on the Barnstormer ride.
Yeah.
And they themed that whole area really, really well. And that was a good example for them to say, well, hey, what can we do with a swing? And I think they're taking good strides to do that for their areas as well.
What is the future for you guys? I know you can't reveal stuff, but, I mean, you've really diversified into different types of coasters. You have still have, you know, the drop and launch towers are the bread and butter. I mean, sure. Almost everywhere you go in the world, you will see an SNS tower. I mean, what is the future for you guys?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, I've been at the company for 12 years. I've seen, you know, us go through three different management styles and systems. You know, initially it was with Stan Checkitz, who was the founder of the company and had the air launch towers. We went through a time where we started diversifying our portfolio, our product. Started looking at doing coasters and swings and things. You know, as a company, we're relatively new in the coaster business if you look at the time that some have been part of it. But I feel like we've reached a point where we really are at the top of our game. We've created a product development team that is looking years in advance. I mean, we've got some really cool things that are in the works. And, you know, when you start seeing prototypes set up next to SNS, you're going to start getting hints of the type of stuff we're doing. So we got some things coming up. I'd say keep your eye on that. And I don't know if we'll have it here for IAPA next year, but maybe the next. Hopefully it's with a customer. So we did that with the 40 Free Spin ride a couple of years ago. We did that unveiling with Batman with Six Flags Fiesta Texas. That was the first one. We did a prototype outside. We ran it, and now we're on number 12 and been able to produce that part. So we are looking ahead. We're looking in advance of what's going on. Not just doing these mega, you know, these big coasters, but a product that's unique. Because if you do look at our products, it's not just traditional coasters. That 40 Free Spin is like a machine.
Yeah.
It looks like a robot going along the track.
Yeah.
It's a unique aspect there. So.
Going back to Steel Curtain, how difficult was it to? I mean, given it's a roller coaster, so there's not much theming involved. But how difficult was it to theme? I know you guys worked with Kennywood in the NFL. Mm-hmm. How difficult was it to theme a roller coaster after an NFL team?
Really, isn't that difficult? And they were pretty. They're good to work with. You know, we've worked with different groups, Six Flags, and themed after the Batmans and the Wonder Womans and those requirements for logos.
Yeah.
With this particular ride or vehicle, our design team came up with the vehicle look,
yeah.
The fiberglass look. They sent it to them. They were happy with it. The more difficult things are, literally, what is your spacing in between the lines of the black and the white and the yellow?
Yeah.
You have to be exact.
Yeah.
What is the color? You have to make sure it's exact. So from that aspect, yeah, you have to work with NFL and Kennywood and make sure that you meet those requirements, because they're a specific IP and they care about the image that's there. So
yeah.
That's where we had to take care. But as far as like the fiberglass design, the seats, the front body, the nose, that's what our team came up with, and really Kennywood was really happy with it. So
yeah.
It really wasn't too difficult. As long as we hit the right color tones,
yeah.
And make sure our stripes are perfect.
Got everything right.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Preston, for sitting down with us.
Okay. Thank you.
So one of the cool things about IAPA is the show floor. Pretty much everything that goes into making a theme park, an amusement park, a family fun center, even your, like, parks, like national parks type attraction, all of that is here on the IAPA show floor.
Yeah, I mean, you could literally come to IAPA and build a theme park. There's always tons to see, tons to experience, new ideas, new concepts. There's so much to see here. It's ridiculous, almost, in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, the last few years has been a lot of VR. You know, VR has obviously become very big, and so there's VR attractions everywhere.
Yeah, VR is big again this year.
You know, and it's something that can go into a lot of places. Like, and we've seen more and more attractions that aren't just for big theme parks, but are also for like smaller stuff. I mean, they've almost got like a version of like Soarin', but you wear VR goggles, but you're on a motion platform, and that can go anywhere, any type of family fun park. I mean, even I believe the Andretti Center over here across from the convention center has one of those now. So,
and of course, you got the food. Everybody loves the food at IAPA.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of different food, you know, that for the different parks or attractions. You know, one of everybody's favorite every year is Beaver Tails, which are from Canada, which, you know, are in a lot of places around the country and the world, but not really here in Orlando. So everyone sort of goes gaga every time we're here. And that's always got such a long line. So, yeah, I mean, there's bounce houses here. There's playgrounds. You know, it's crazy all the stuff that you can see here on the IAPA show floor. All right, so we're here with Chris Gray, Vice President and Partner with Skyline Attractions. You guys had a big announcement today.
Yeah, Barry, we announced with SeaWorld, of course, a couple weeks ago, but this morning we unveiled the car for SeaWorld San Diego's Horizon project. We call it Horizon because ultimately it's a Skywarp Horizon to us. They're calling it Tidal Twister. But yeah, it was big. We had, if I had to estimate, 200 people standing in front of the booth, so it seemed like it went really well, so I was happy.
What makes this ride unique?
Well, it's the first one in the world that's built in the way that, kind of like our original Skywarp was, but we basically took the design and just laid it down on the side. So the cars will actually have a tilting mechanism on them. So if you can imagine, when you come into the station and you park, you're going to be at a 45-degree angle. And then we have pins on the car that are going to unlock. And then a mechanism will push the car up right so you can exit on a flat plane. And then the next guest can get on. And once everybody's locked in, the car will drop back down to 45 degrees. The pins will engage on each car. And then the train will take off. And it goes over a zero-G hill and then a zero-G heart line. And the way it works, it's really one big train with passenger cabins on each end. So we have 16 people on each end of this thing. And so as they go through the moment of the intersection, the one is over the top, the one spiraling underneath. So it provides a really unique visual. But at the same time, it looks probably more complicated than it really is because it's one big train. I think a lot of times guests don't realize that, funny enough, but it looks like the two trains are dueling one another.
And why did you guys go with what looks like the solid rail type, single rail type concept with this?
Well, the single rail concept was always something that we were intrigued with when monorails as kids. I think ultimately that's one of the reasons we got into this. And then when Rocky Mountain kind of put the patch on it and said, this is now ours, we went to them and said, hey, we want to build some rides with a little bit wider of a rail than you've normally done, right, with the wooden coasters. And he was already working on the Raptor track, and he'd already presented the larger track as well. This one fell right in the middle. But one of the things that it allowed us to do was not necessarily look like your standard roller coaster, although I think that's very pretty and very cool, but it just definitely kind of put a wow factor on it that most people have never seen before, just like a lot of his product as well. The track was all engineered by us in-house. Fred just did all the construction on it. So all our engineers' teams, they put all the connections together and designed all the welds and all that, basically using Fred's shape. And, so Fred built the track. So he's going to be building the track as well for Horizon.
You guys have been going now for, what, four or five years?
It's our fourth year in business as Skyline Attractions.
Fourth year. Come from doing stuff for other companies, other parks. What's the future for Skyline Attractions?
To take over the world of amusements. Yes, with my pinky ring or my pinky finger in my mouth. Yeah. No, you know, we're a company of very excited people. We typically only hire people that are a lot like us. People that are extremely passionate about the industry, have wanted to work in it their entire life. If you look at the four partners, we've all loved amusement rides since we were kids. When I was 8 years old, just like Jeff and Evan, all three of us had said, we're going to design roller coasters for a living. And we did. You know, we started with Great Coasters International and ultimately ended up leaving Great Coasters, but still do a lot of work for them as well. And basically just to do whatever we can to make the industry more fun and exciting. And the idea was to come to the show every year with something new or a new idea, some new spin on something. And ultimately, this year we won second place on Brass Rings for Skywarp. So, and that was not our first Brass Ring, and we're a four-year-old company. So I think that kind of tells you what we're trying to do here. We're trying to be innovative. We're trying to bring in a lot of super awesome creative people that love the amusement industry just like we do. and build something that no one has ever seen before. And it's not always easy. You know, you're always, you find pits in the road and you hit them. And the thing is if you have a team, a good team, you either bridge over that gap, you go through it, or over it, or around. You figure out a way to do it. And everybody in our team, that's that mindset.
How's the reception of the original Skywarp event? Because you guys have some installed now at Six Flags. How's the reception been of that?
Well, so the Skywarp opened in August this year, and the general public are just, you know, I think you could throw anything at the general public that goes upside down and hangs there for a second, and it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. The enthusiasts, you know, it's always a little tough because everybody, all the enthusiasts always, and, I, you know, I'm an enthusiast. I get it, but
they
at the same time,
bigger,
better, longer, yeah. Crazy fast. And, you know, and there's still niches in the market that the amusement industry has that has to satisfy
yeah.
those small little places. And ultimately, that was a niche that no one had.
Yeah.
And we were looking for that. For years, Jeff and I would sit in the Great Coasters booth as employees over there, and people would come to us and say, what do you got new? It's like, well, we make wooden roller coasters. We can launch it, and nobody ever wanted to do that. Or you say, oh, we could do a loop. Nobody really ever wanted to do that.
Yeah.
And so the funny thing is we start another company, and we come out with something completely new and amazing, and no one has ever seen it before.
Yeah.
And that very first year with Strike You Up, we're on the floor. I couldn't tell you how many people walked up and would say, that's the coolest thing on the show floor. I love it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be the first one to buy it.
Yeah.
And
we're
it's,
sit
oh,
back.
It was so disheartening.
Yeah.
Because I thought, we thought, wow, we've invented something that is completely new. People will get it. It will be amazing. And I'm telling you, it's really difficult to make that first sale on any of this big equipment.
Yeah.
So, and especially as a new company, I mean, you know, people know us, but you're a whole new company at that point.
Yeah.
It's not the same. So it's almost like you have to build your brand back up again.
Yeah.
So, and ultimately, that's what we're still trying to do. And, you know, be innovative, be creative, inspire. That's the other thing. Inspire the guys and gals that work for us to want to be innovative and creative and stay here and work for us and make awesome stuff. So, you know, having a company is a lot more than just building product. It's having good people. And having people that love what they do just like you do. That's, to me, that's really more important than the product. A lot of times the product, of course, has got to sell. But to me, it's so awesome to have great employees. And they're passionate. So.
Now, one of the cool things for us about coming to IAPA every year, and we've been coming for around 15 years, both of us separately, but is all the people we've met over the years. That a lot of some of them we only see like once a year, and it's here.
Yeah, the cool thing about IAPA is it's a huge gathering of, like we said, the theme park industry, and you know, people like us, the bloggers and the podcasters. Not only do we see them, but we get to see people in the industry. We get to see them and chat with them, and it's really cool to have that sort of, I guess you could say, bonding experience with some of the big names in the theme park, amusement park industry.
Yeah, and it's neat because, and a lot of times, they want to hear your feedback, you know, about something they've created and you've tried and you've written, and they like to hear, you know, what you think about different things.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you hear like some of the vendors, they don't want to talk to the media and the press, but you. We're actually pleasantly surprised with all the vendors and all the roller coaster designers that we've chat with that you're going to hear on this episode. How many are willing to sit down and chat with us? Because, like Barry said, they want kind of, because they know we're hardcore into this stuff, and we know we're the ones that go out and experience this stuff and have opinions on it, and a lot of the designers and the developers, they want that feedback.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely neat to be able to meet some of these people, and sometimes when we're here, we get to try things we've never gotten to try before. So that's one of the cool things about being at IAPA. And let's go move on to the next interview.
Hey everyone, we're here with Brittany Williams from Legoland, Florida. So Brittany, tell us a little bit more about Lego Movie World, what people can expect going in. And, of course, we're at IAPA, and you guys just announced more details about Masters of Flight.
That's right. So in spring 2019, we will be bringing the theater into the theme park, and guests will experience a fully immersive world based off of the Lego Movie and the Lego Movie 2, the second part. There will be three attractions, and the one that we focused on today was the Lego Movie Masters of Flight because it is a first-of-its-kind attraction. It is an M-ride by Brogen Technologies that incorporates a 180-degree turn that will reveal a giant dome screen, which means every seat in the house is going to be a great seat. It'll fly you through a Lego universe where you'll fly up to Cloud Cuckoo Land and you'll smell cotton candy flowing through the air, which will be really amazing. That's the
Can you tell us a little bit more about the scenes, some of the scenes you'll see in the Lego Movie in the Masters of Flight ride?
Definitely. Well, I think it's worth mentioning that you start on a triple-decker couch. That's his latest invention. And so you'll fly through Pirate's Cove. Well, you're here and smell those cannons going off. And that particular scene is voiced by Nick Offerman. He's going to be really incorporating some fun humor there. And then, again, with through Cloud Cuckoo Land and... I'm drawing a blank on the third place.
That's okay.
So there will be a collection of scenes. We hope to release some early stages of that animation soon.
And you guys are getting the actual voice actors from the movie, correct?
It's a mix. Some will be sound alike and some will be the actual ones. I know for sure Nick Offerman because we caught him doing it. I believe Alison Brie is doing it as well. And I think Chris Pratt too. I believe those are the ones that are confirmed, but I would have to check on that again.
How does, just kind of based on Lego Movie World itself, the land, how does this compare to some of the other expansions Legoland has done previously?
Yeah, it's our biggest and best yet. I mean, it really is. It's our biggest investment we've ever made in a theme park land.
Yeah.
I was out there the other day watching the Lego Movie Masters of Flight building go up and say, this is the real deal.
Yeah.
And it's a great expansion because it's going to offer another indoor experience, which, you know, in Florida, you can't have enough of those. Mm-hmm. Whenever that rain comes through, it's a great way to take cover and still enjoy your day.
Still have a fun ride.
Yeah, definitely.
I was there for Rick or Treat. And I saw the building going up, and I was like, what is this going to be? So now we know.
Yes.
So, Barry, do you have any?
How important is it that it seems like next year is sort of the year of the land here in Central Florida? You know, SeaWorld's got their Sesame Street. Obviously, Disney's got Star Wars. Universal's adding even more to the Harry Potter world. I mean, you guys have already sort of had your own little worlds and lands in the park, but this is a big move for you to create basically the world of Lego Movie that is one of the biggest successes Lego-wise worldwide is known. What was the impetus to try to move into... You sort of stepped into the Lego Movie world with the characters, having the 4D experience. Why move big into creating an entire land around Lego Movie world?
Great question. We know that our guests are looking for a chance to escape. So we think that's what the Lego Movie World is going to offer them. It's going to offer their whole family a chance to escape and to meet those characters that they know and love. You're absolutely right. When the first Lego Movie launched and we brought Emmett and Wildstyle into our park, we all of a sudden we had character recognition. And before that, I believe we had like Buddy and people knew Lego mm-hmm. characters and minifigures in a very kind of general sense. Mm-hmm. But now, these guys, these are celebrities, so they will now have their own home at Legoland Florida, so it's almost like we're really embracing that and asking them to move in. We say that they're permanently moving in, and they have their own home now. And again, I go back to that theater to theme park. It's our customers, and you see the other parks doing it too, it's very important for them to be able to live those things that they see on the screen where you can touch and feel.
Immersed.
Yes, be totally immersed, and it just really completes that. And it's a great partnership with Warner Brothers that we're able to work so closely to bring those things to life. And it allows us to offer something that no other park can.
And then you guys teased the hotel. I mean, you had the Legoland Hotel, you have the Beach Resort, and now another hotel.
Yes, the demand is definitely there. Since I came in 2014, we were building the hotel. I've watched us go from a theme park with a water park to a multi-day destination. And we opened Legoland Hotel, Legoland Beechtree, and now we'll open this third hotel on site. It just offers our guests a way to stay and play. And I do want to mention, too, I don't think we talked about this much this morning, but the Lego Movie... There will also be the Lego Movie rooms in the Lego Movie, or the Legoland Hotel. Sorry, I'm getting all my Legos twisted around. But yeah, so it'll be a new way to stay and play there.
In the current
hotel, yes. Okay. We'll have completely themed the Lego Movie rooms.
And I guess that's what your guests are expecting when the kids and, well, I should say some adults too, when they come to Legoland, they're expecting to see Emmett in Wild Style and Buddy and everyone else, aren't they?
They really are. I mean, and it's something that I think brings guests back again and again, too, because once they have met them once, and I know my daughter personally, whenever we go to the park, I want to hug them, and she's only two, and she loves the character element. So it really is a part of a complete experience having them.
And my middle one, Connor, he's not too sure about characters, but he, too, at Legoland, he sees some of the characters, and he warms up to them a lot better than some of the other characters at some of the other parks. So those Lego characters have a different aura about them, I guess you could say, that kids aren't really intimidated for the most part.
Right.
So.
It's just the toys they've been playing with at home brought to life. Yep. So
that I've been playing with.
Yeah, exactly. They're very comfortable with it, and they tend to embrace it for sure.
Cool. Good.
Thanks,
Brittany.
All
appreciate
right,
thank
it. Thank you. Anytime.
Now, obviously, you can't see because this is audio, but we're outdoors now because at IAPA, there's a big, giant outdoor exhibit area where they've got all kinds of different inflatables. They have some rides, and they have some structures because, parks need structures.
Yeah, like we said earlier, you could basically build a theme park at IAPA, and they have a whole outdoor section where you can come out and see even more of the bigger structures. And, like, they have a company over here called Tentnology, and they basically build these giant canopies.
Yeah.
And they got bounce houses, and they even got a few rides that wouldn't fit in the convention center out here that you can go and ride. So
yeah, it's definitely really neat. And they even got... we're looking at some inflatables right now. There's the Ultimate Ninja Warrior, where you got to, like, go through obstacles and stuff. Over there, there's a ride, a Frenzy, which I would definitely not get on because I would probably puke.
But, same here.
Yeah, so.
And apparently IAPA's gotten so big that they have a new, it's this massive tent structure with even more vendors and booths. So we're going to go check that out.
All right, so new this year at IAPA, it has gotten so big that they have put up a gigantic exhibition tent in the parking lot for more space because they have so many exhibitors here this year, and this is new. We've never seen anything like this before.
Yeah, it's a giant air-conditioned tent structure.
Yeah, and there's actually two of them. That's how big it is.
Oh yeah, we got to go to the one over there and check that one out.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two giant tents. It seems to be some of the smaller vendors they put in here.
Yeah, I think we heard it's like a lot of the newer vendors, a lot of first-time vendors are this is their location. But it doesn't seem to affect the crowds because it seems just as busy out here as it is in the main show floor.
And they got dogs.
Yeah, there's a doggy over there.
Dog stunt show.
Yeah, it's an extreme dog stunt show. So let's go check that out. We're here with Ernest Yale, CEO and founder of Triotech. I've been coming here for years. I've seen your guys' booth grow and grow.
Yes.
And grow.
And our expenses grow and grow and grow.
You guys got some big stuff this year, especially your partnership with Ubisoft.
Ubisoft, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're showing the Rabbit Team Battle. So Rabbit Team Battle is really, we've been thinking about this for years now. We sold almost 200 interactive theaters. And, most of them that we show at the show are 8-seat, and we have 16-seat. We sold a couple of 40-seater. The problem becomes when you have 40 people shooting on the same screen, it becomes a bit confusing.
Chaotic.
Yeah, chaotic. So we thought, how can we make this work? Because, amusement parks ask for 60 seats, 80 seats, 100 seats, because they used to have 40 motion theaters. So now we came up with the idea of let's split everyone in two and give them a mission. So now you're not shooting individually. You're part of the red team or the blue team. And now when I'm shooting and I know I won a round as a blue member, shooting at the red robot, I know, wow, I just achieved a score and I need to shoot more in the next round to make sure we're still ahead. So it becomes a team play. And it really works. People, when they win, they're like, yeah, we won as a team. And when they lose, they go like, boo, you guys cheated on the other side.
Friendly competition.
Yeah, and it really works.
And that, to me, that seems to be like the future here, is like a lot of these, not just interactive, but you've got to work together.
Yes.
And like you said, it gives that team environment. Because, that
you know, when you go to an amusement park, it's not about an individual experience. You can have that at home. You can put a VR headset. You can play online. It's about being with your friends and family and living through an experience together, seeing their face react to what's on screen. Mm-hmm. You know, or if you're with friends, beating them because they're on the other side. So, but video games have been really they've been more advanced than what we've been doing in amusement parks. We've been a bit behind, to be frank. But now things are catching up. Triatech working with Ubisoft is really a great partnership. Ubisoft is more than a $1 billion company. They're much bigger than us. But in a sense, we're also a leader in our industry for this kind of technology. So bringing both things together, we think we're going to create really a breakthrough experience with this Raving Rabbit theater. So.
Yeah, and you talk about like the technology and the graphics. It seems like the technology is a little bit more easily upgradable now.
Yeah.
That you can advance. That's always been the problem with graphics in a theme park environment, is it gets dated.
Yeah.
A lot of times, by the time the ride comes out, it's already behind the technology.
Yeah, and the good thing is, as you said, a lot of times now software gets upgraded. Like, we've just upgraded the software on the Carnival, which is the XD Dark Ride film, which is our number 10 film. It's a software upgrade, but there's tricks in the software that makes it look much better. So basically, you can do a software upgrade and go a long way into making better graphics. Also, once you've invested in the hardware, in the seats, in the the motion, the wind, the big screen, you can just upgrade the servers. That's very easy. Mm-hmm. You change the graphical cards. Cost a couple of thousands of dollars on a multi-million dollar ride, it's a fraction of the cost, and the graphics literally could double in quality. Mm-hmm. So for minimum investment, because every year, I think it's the Moore's Law, every year the graphics get better and better.
Yeah.
And they get cheaper and cheaper as well. Yeah. So you get a better and better experience.
You want to do Assassin's Creed?
Yeah, with the both me and him did the Assassin's Creed
the
VR,
VR,
which,
yeah,
by the way, is the best VR we've done here at IAPA.
Thank
it
you
was,
very much.
It was phenomenal.
I've been told that, but it's nice to hear.
Yes, well, you heard it here first.
Yes, you're the first.
with that in mind, with the VR, are you guys exploring more into VR, or is it something that you're kind of dabbling in a little bit?
Look, this attraction, I mean, it's great. We're going to sell a lot of it because we've been perfecting it.
Yeah.
It's like the third or fourth time we're showing it. I wasn't happy at the first times we showed it.
Yeah.
Now it's really great. As you said, we're happy. People are buying it.
Yeah.
VR, in my opinion, is never going to be a huge portion of our attractions.
Yeah.
Because, VR is more like for FECs for us. And we would rather work on experiences with brings group of people
like
together.
You said, you want the family aspect.
Yeah, and VR has been tried on roller coasters and in high capacity attractions.
Yeah,
and we've seen huge cuts in capacity.
Mm-hmm.
At least 50% less capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So operators now are very they're scared of it. It's not that the experience is not good.
Yeah.
When you have an hour lineup, it becomes a two-hour lineup.
Yeah.
It's not acceptable for guests.
I mean, we've seen,
so,
we live here in Orlando. We've seen a 2-3 hour wait for some of the VR coasters. And
parks, they want to deliver a great experience.
Yeah.
Part of the future is going to be things we're looking at is how do you basically entertain the guests in the lineups? So we're thinking we'll do, the lineups are going to become pre-shows.
Yeah.
So that's where we're going and not cutting capacity. So, to answer your question, VR... you know, it's a portion of our sales. It's going to be more in the smaller attractions.
Yeah.
But the bulk of our, you know, development is going to larger attractions, actually, like the Team Battle, which, you know, Team Battle, we could have 100 seats at 900 THRC, 900 people per hour, realistically.
It was really interesting that you put the perspective on dividing. I didn't think of it that way because we did it, the Team Battle, and dividing it up so it's not the craziness on the screen. That was,
yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we thought about it. We tested it. And the reaction from the guests has been great.
Yeah.
People are just... They don't like to lose. If you have 80 people, you know, there's only one winner. So yeah. Now half of the crowd wins. You know, that's yeah. good.
When you get off of those types of ride and your arms are hurting, you know,
exactly.
it's fun. Yeah. You had a blast.
But there's tricks to shoot faster. But that's for next. It's going to be next interview. But.
So what's the future for TriAttack?
I mean, we want to be the leader in the industry, which blends classical, you know, attractions like dark rides, you know, motion-based simulators, and more, and bring media and really be at the cutting edge of quality in media and adding as many effects as possible in groups as large as possible. When we do a VR attraction, it's great, but it's one person or maybe two. You know, we'd love to put 40 people in a room and have them play together
yeah.
and live through a story, come up, you know, excited. And our attractions are usually fast-paced. You know, they have a high level of energy, but we try to limit them at 3 to 4 minutes. We don't need to show a 20-minute or 15-minute 4D ride.
Yeah.
4 minutes of high-paced, you know, action and, is enough.
Yeah.
So that's where we're going, basically. And we've been growing and growing. I mean, by next year, I think we're going to rent our own show.
I was saying earlier, it seems like every year the TriAttack booth gets bigger and bigger and
yeah,
bigger.
So,
excited to see what you guys have next year.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're already in plans for next year. It's going to be awesome. So, but this year has been great. So.
Cool.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Thanks a lot, guys.
So we just played this thing called Magnatech, which is like basically sword fighting.
I'm still out of breath.
And yeah, we're still out of breath. So that's some of the cool things you get to do here at IAPA. So we hope you enjoyed all these interviews.
Yeah, thanks guys for listening. If you guys like this, hopefully we'll do it again next year, kind of live on the show floor coverage of IAPA. It's something new we tried. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, so hopefully if you like this, we might try some other podcasts that are like basically from wherever we're at.
Yeah, so. We got this digital recorder, so we're trying to put it to the test here and do more on-location stuff. So, hey, thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Yep, remember to follow us at ThrillGeek on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/ThrillGeek. Like and follow the Facebook page, and that's where most of our live streams are. We are youtube.com/ThrillGeek. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We've got all kinds of videos from IAPA and more holiday videos coming up. And, of course, coming soon, Tokyo Disney. And for the latest in theme park and pop culture news, visit ThrillGeek.com. And, of course, you're listening to The Thrill Geek Podcast, available wherever podcasts are sold. So that's it from IAPA Attractions Expo 2018. We hope you enjoyed the show.
Thanks, guys. See you next time.
And we'll see you in the parks.